Icons, we're back with another special episode of my other podcast, A Very Merry Iconic Podcast, and it's presented by Nordstrom. Nordstrom has the best holiday gifts for everyone you love, all in one place. You'll find beauty favorites, cozy presents, fun ideas under $100, and more, like festive dressing for you and your home. So just head to your favorite store or order on Nordstrom.com. The best gifts are yours at Nordstrom. Now, to me, the holiday season always means watching The Grinch. My co-host at my holiday movie podcast, her and I have done Grinch episodes for 4 years straight now. We love diving into the lore of The Grinch. So I'm going to play our newest Grinch episode for you all now. Stick around to hear our thoughts on the holiday classic, as well as a million other things, because Jen and I, every time we get together to podcast, we talk about everything and anything. So hope you enjoy and happy holidays.
Hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. But whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve, hating the Who's.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to A Very Merry Iconic Podcast with me, Danny Pellegrino.
And me, Jenna Brister.
Hi, Jenna.
Hey, Danny.
It's our Grinch episode, our yearly annual Grinch episode, the one that people ask for or ask us to stop doing, but we're continuing on and doing it again regardless.
Because we have more thoughts. Yeah. I have so many more thoughts.
I know, I have a lot of thoughts, too.
Now, good.
People might not be familiar with our Grinch episodes. These are sort of a grab bag, but we are diving deeper and deeper into the Thor, or into the Grinch Thor. Into the Grinch lore. Why do I keep wanting to say Thor?
Yeah.
I saw a shirtless picture.
Thor's hot. Yeah.
That's right. Earlier, yeah. So that's where my brain's at. Anyway, yeah, we always get into the Grinch because, of course, there's the original animated series, the book that it's based on. There was a Halloween Grinch sequel that we briefly discussed last season.
Oh, yeah.
There's been Grinch video games, which that's actually where
You've
my heart.
You've played that.
Yes. I've played two.
Do you
Grinch,
like it?
Two Grinch video games. Yes. Now, Jenna, okay, should we just get into this now?
Let's get into it.
Okay, the Grinch video game. Let me just... Yeah. Get this all off my chest, because I had played the Dreamcast Grinch video game, which was sort of loosely based on the Jim Carrey version of the film.
Okay.
And Matt had gotten me a Dreamcast alongside the Grinch movie like 2 years ago for Christmas. I think we talked about it here on the podcast. And in that video game, which is heavily dated because it was from the early 2000s, it featured Grinch and the dog Max. And one of the ways that he hurt the people or the villains in the game was like with his butt. Remember, he like knocked his ass.
Yes. Oh, yeah. He would like
he would shake
bump
his hips.
Yeah.
Yeah, and do it. Anyway, so now this season there is a Grinch Fit game, a new one for the Switch. Okay, new company.
Yeah,
I bought it as a tax write-off for this podcast because I thought we need to explore that. And I was playing it this morning, and I was going to go to the gym, but I knew you were coming over to do our annual Grinch episode, and I was like, okay, I got to get into this game. But it does not feature so far in the first two levels Grinch using his caboose to knock out the villains.
Oh!
Instead, he's just sort of jumping, but it is similar in that they have Max with him, the dog, and then sometimes you have to like flip-flop in between the dog and the Green Man, and then you collect presents. So I'm two episodes in, and so far it's fun, although it is made for, I'd say, toddlers.
Okay. Ages 1 through 4.
It is definitely not made for, like, me. And neither was the Dreamcast version, by the way. Like, this is, I'm playing it, and I'm wrapped up in the game, but it is for my nephew who's 5.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Who it's made for.
That's the level.
But I love that they just keep recycling the Grinch into different forms, into different merch, into different video games.
Mm-hmm. Well, And you found the algorithm on TikTok of like the Grinch head people.
Oh yeah, I'm fully in Grinch head TikTok.
Yeah.
Grinch talk.
Grinch talk.
Grinch talk is wild, Jenna.
I had no idea that there was such a fandom.
No.
of him?
No,
as
Jenna,
a character?
It's shocking. And for those of you who are not familiar with the Grinch talk, it's like people who decorate Grinch exclusively talk. In Grinch stuff.
Exclusively.
And supposedly, I think it's Hobby Lobby. I could be wrong. But that's where a lot of the people are going for their Grinch talk merch.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was the craziest thing ever. Like, truly. And then I come to find out, Matt was telling me last night, he's like one of my, because we were talking about Grinch, and he said one of his like family members or someone is decorates exclusively the Grinch. So now it's in the family now. And to be honest with you, like I can understand how it happens because I even was at Williams-Sonoma and I was buying, there's a Grinch mug I got from there last season that I really loved. And so I like bought a backup there.
Smart.
And they have Grinch plates, platters. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I got a Grinch over there.
I also subscribe to the idea of buying a backup. I know a lot of people aren't like that. I'm like that with shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if I find a nice pair of shoes, I'm like, oh, I need a backup.
No, it's very important. Like, it's very important. Yeah. Especially for like something seasonal or I think a coffee mug. I'm a big coffee mug person.
Ditto.
So it's not great. Yeah. I don't normally find a good one. Like the size that I like, one that's dishwasher safe.
Your fingers fit in the handle.
Handles, yeah. Yes.
Can you microwave it? That's
can you
issue.
Microwave it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and some of those seasonal ones that they sell at the Walgreens and shit, like you can't even put them in the fucking microwave or in the top shelf of the dishwasher.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it's not
going
to last.
So
I bought one with googly eyes,
sure.
And I, of course, put in the dishwasher and they fell off. I'm like,
right.
It was my fault,
right.
But also theirs.
Right. I mean, so Grinch is making money. Grinch is here to stay is the point of this episode and everything that's happening around us because he just keeps on coming back in different forms.
Yes.
And you were really fired up when you came over today.
I was so fired up. I was just like, I have this folder of Grinch intel because every time.
Real quickly, though, I just have to let listeners know that you did come in with a Manila. Is it Manila?
Yeah. Like
do they
folder.
Say, wait, is it Manila or Vanilla? Isn't it Manila?
Manila. Yeah, Manila.
But what the fuck is that word,
I think
Manila?
It's supposed to be a color, like the color of yellow. Maybe. Or is it a brand? You know,
I
have no
idea.
We
need to figure that out. But Manila. It is Manila, but Manila. That word, I only use Manila. It in regards to folders. So like, what?
Yeah.
Anyway, you did come into my home today with a folder that says Grinch Intel in green Sharpie. I just cannot wait to see what you have.
I didn't want to get confused with the other Intel folders I have on my desk.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, this is the Grinch one.
And Jenna, a lot of listeners have been commenting because each episode you sort of reveal like an onion, a new facet of yourself. So.
Yes. Yeah.
I know all these things because I've known you for over a decade, but sometimes listeners will pick up on something you say sort of in passing about an old relationship, an old sexy time you had with somebody from NSYNC or whatever.
Yes.
So it comes up and up again. And so listeners are starting to catch on. And so it's funny. It's interesting to me though what they're catching up on or what they reach out to me about because they're like, wait, did Jenna just say that? And I'm like, yes, she sure did.
Yes, she sure did. Yeah. Jenna doesn't have a filter. And I think the one, cause you were on the Thanksgiving episode, I mentioned that I was planning to tell my boyfriend that I loved him. So I was getting a lot of DMs from the amazing fan base. Everyone who listens to this pod is just so wonderful. I love you all.
They are the best.
And they are the best. And it's funny because we recorded that. I looked it up October 6th.
Okay. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. We recorded early. We're
recording Christmas episodes in October.
Yeah. But I completely put it out of my mind that that was even on the Thanksgiving episode. And I, you know this, but I ended up in Cedars-Sinai in the hospital Thanksgiving week because he came to town with like a norovirus. So I was taking care of him. He got me sick the whole time. So then I am super sick. I go to the hospital. I'm in the ER. And before he gets there to come visit me, I still haven't said it, by the way. I'm like
you
talking
still
about
said
it.
I love you.
Still haven't said I love you. And I'm like, oh. And so as the nurse, Karish, was like hooking up an IV to my arm, I was like, oh, my boyfriend's on the way. I think I'm going to tell him that I love him this morning. And he
were
was like,
you on any,
not yet.
Okay, you were not.
No morphine. I asked for morphine. I was like, give me. But as
I
ask like,
for it anytime I walk into a hospital.
Me
room.
Too. It's a blast. I was like, can I have the morphine? And they're like, you don't need it. I was like, yeah, that's what you say.
Right. Like, you're here for a tooth cleaning. This is the dentist, sir.
Gas me up. And I told the nurse, I was like, I think I'm going to tell him that I love him. And he's like, okay, so like, do you? And I was like, yeah, you'll meet him in like 45 minutes. He's on his way, but I think I just should. But then I had to go give a urine sample and I get a look at myself in the mirror and I was like,
oh, you
there's
stopped
no way.
Okay, good.
I looked at myself in the mirror. I was like, you look insane. But I'm in this backless gown. You know, I look gorgeous.
Showing a little caboose.
Yeah, a little caboose. And so I don't
Pika
say
caboose.
It, but then the next morning is Thanksgiving and he's like, he loves the pod. He listens to it. And he says it first. We wake up super sick. I have the bracelet on.
Okay, wait. Timeline wise, had he, I know he listened to the podcast episode where we talked about that. And so timeline at that point, had he listened?
No.
Okay, so he hadn't listened. Okay, okay.
It was Thanksgiving morning. So right. The episode wasn't even out. Oh, so out.
Like had just, yeah, okay.
It just dropped. And so then we wake up and he's like, I am in love with you. And I was like, I'm in love with you too. But I was like, oh, but let's listen to the, you know, yeah, the episode. Like, I have it on record that I said it first. You know, not like it's a competition.
You're like, I also told it to the nurse.
I was like, Danny knew, Karish knew the whole time, all day long, that I was going to maybe say it.
I'm proud that you didn't say it at the ER, because especially in Los Angeles, the emergency room here is really disgusting.
Ooh, yeah.
It's a bleak place.
It is, yeah. And you can overhear a lot of other stuff. And I was like, this is not a romantic place. So it was better that it was like Thanksgiving. We're both sick. We're both just, so we spent the day in bed watching movies. We watched The Holiday. He'd never seen it.
You know, I think I've told this story on the pod before in one of my books or something, but one time when I was at the ER in Los Angeles at Cedars-Sinai, there was a woman, somehow it was coming up that Farrah Fawcett was coming up or something. And it was during COVID, so like the beds were like in the hallway and stuff. Yeah. It was like, I was just in a hallway waiting.
Yes.
And this woman was kept shouting about Farrah Fawcett and Bill Pullman being dead or something. I don't know. People have to go back and listen to the old episodes of the podcast, but I just remember her being like, Farrah Fawcett's dead. Like, it was like a really bleak. So anyway, it's there was
so
no I love you.
Sinai, though.
I know. It was just, I remember they were her shouting. I feel like I brought up Bill Pullman or something. I don't remember the details. You know, everything's fuzzy. Anyway, I'm glad. So you guys are in love.
Yeah. Oh. So we confessed feelings, and we listened to the whole episode, and it was nice.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so that's the update.
This podcast episode will actually be released like close to when we're airing it. So hopefully there won't be any big changes.
Yeah, totally.
When he listens to this episode.
Yeah.
But hello out there.
Hello out there.
And Jenna, did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
I did. Yeah. I think we watched five movies. And I had pumpkin pie was the only thing we could really eat because we're both so sick. Yeah. And it was
feeling better though.
Yeah, way better, but delightfully low key. I love a low key Thanksgiving. How was yours?
Yeah, it was the same. Yeah. I did watch a lot of movies too. And I have some thoughts on, before we get into more Grinch stuff, I do have some notes on some things that I watched.
Fuck the Grinch.
Because I watched the movie Genie with Melissa McCarthy.
I haven't seen that yet.
I thought it was terrible.
Okay.
It was on Peacock. I did not care for it. It was like innocent enough. Like there was nothing bad about exactly. Like it wasn't. It looked like there was a budget. I love Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
But nothing about it was memorable to me. And it was presented as a holiday film, but it didn't really feel very Christmassy to me. There was nothing about Christmas, really. It was just some decor there. Mm. I don't know. I just really, it actually like pissed me off.
Yeah.
Like you said, you walked in here hot.
Yeah. I walked in here hot.
I watched that entire movie. And again, I like a bad Christmas movie.
Yes.
But this one was like bad in a not fun way, and because it was presenting itself as more prestige. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Higher budget. Like, this is going to be good. Was the script bad?
It was all just like not there. It was all just there. Ugh. Like, I felt like I finished the whole thing and I was like, it was there. Like, I watched the whole thing. Nothing about it was memorable. I'll never want to watch it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just did not care for it. And actually it made me even more actively mad at Melissa McCarthy's husband again. I don't believe he had any sort of part in this.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I don't think he had any involvement, but I blame him because I feel like ever since she started doing the movies with him and like forcing the movies with him, that guy, then she stopped getting the good scripts. And I don't know. I blame him.
Yeah. The last couple weren't good. She was great in The Heat. I didn't like Tammy. And then that Identity Thief one.
Yeah.
Those are both terrible. Is that?
Yeah. And then she did the one
where it was terrible.
She did one where she sold Girl Scout cookies and rejoined college. She's done a bunch of them. She did teamed up with Muppets and did some detective work.
The cookies one. That was like some boss.
A lot of, there's been a lot of bad ones. Yeah. A lot of bad ones. And I'm just going to need her agent or something to, figure it out.
Their jets.
Figure it out. Like, let's settle in until we get a good one because I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
I'm tired of it. And then I also watched Santa Clauses. This is relevant to our thing.
Oh, yes.
Santa Clauses season 2, which I also feel like has completely lost the plot. And I hate to get on the microphone. Here I am being a Grinch, talking about all the things that I hate.
It's
this
on
holiday.
Theme. It's okay. We can Grinch out. I feel like a Grinch today.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Let's Grinch out.
We're Grinching out.
That's the theme of this episode because, yes, I. The first season of The Santa Clauses, which is based on the Tim Allen movies of yesteryear, the first three that we covered on this podcast, they did a season 1 last year. It was fine. It was fine.
Yeah.
Then they did season 2, and I've watched the first 4 episodes or whatever has been released, 4 episodes of it. There's not a barely a connection to the films. There's like a couple appearances from like the Easter Bunny, guy who played the Easter Bunny in the first couple movies or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not even set at Christmas. It's set around Easter.
Jesus.
It's like, what the fuck are we doing? Jenna, that was what I was saying the whole time. I watched every minute of it.
Yeah.
And I did not stop.
Yeah.
Even though I hated them all.
Can't look away.
I just thought, what are we doing here? Yeah. Who's this for even? And then there's like a lot of focus on these new elves, and I just don't have any connection to these new elves.
Yeah. That's what I, there's a lot of times with these, there's so many more questions than answers.
Yeah.
You know, like why are we,
they're
why
adding
are we
witches
doing this?
Now the daughter, and I have a problem with Tim Allen's. This is terrible.
Wait, let's talk about it.
We're going to get letters.
Yeah.
Because I have a problem with Tim Allen's daughter, who's seemingly like some sort of preteen or something.
Oh, she's in it?
Yeah, she's
his real daughter.
The real daughter.
That's right.
In interviews, he keeps, and again, I keep watching interviews as well as the series, despite not liking it. But I've seen all the interviews with him and the daughter. They're paired up together. And he keeps saying, like, she just auditioned and was so good and got it. And it's like, okay.
No. Okay. Be like Adam Sandler. He's like, I'm actively just casting my family.
Right.
These are my children. I'm like, yeah, just own it.
By the way, Adam Sandler's daughter has the it factor. Like, I saw that bat mitzvah movie.
Mm-hmm.
She's
me too.
So good.
So good.
So yeah. Good for her.
It. Yeah.
But I don't know that Tim Allen's daughter, she seems pleasant enough and everything, but I'm seeing in every interview him saying that. Of
she
like,
did not.
She just auditioned and whatever. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Let's just agree to that. It's nepotism.
Yeah, her name's Kim
fine.
Allen or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Fine. But she's like a witch in it, which I'm like, why are we bringing witch lore into this? It's like gotten so chaotic.
I don't like that.
Just
that reminds me
like
of Halloween Town.
Yeah.
I can't handle it. I'm like, no, just pick a lane.
Pick a lane. And maybe we just need to stop it. And I've been the biggest advocate for the Santa Claus series. But now it's gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not even seeing the old characters anymore. And it's like they're introducing these new characters nobody cares about. Also, they're gearing it towards I don't know who it's for because it feels tonally for little kids, which is fine. But like, I don't think the little kids care about this franchise.
Yeah.
So it's like, then you should just be making for the adults or make a new franchise with new people for
all
the kids.
Stuff. Yeah.
Because at this point, it's just in that weird in between where it's like you're pissing off the audience that you already have.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really think you're gaining a new audience because my nieces and nephews aren't like clamoring to watch Tim and Alan and daughter take on the holiday season. Mm-hmm.
It's weird they try to squeeze so much out of that.
Yeah.
You know, like, did you see this thing that they're talking about a Twilight reboot with Jenna Ortega and Jacob Elordi? And I was like, can we not? Like, they need to wait until we all pass away to start talking about reboots.
I think
there should be a...
Wait, I love that you're drinking a coffee out of a glass and you were like, can I have a straw and a coaster so that it doesn't make noise?
And
you hit it like 10
it.
Times. Like made more noise than ever.
Exactly.
Wait, I have a thing. I never liked Jacob Elordi until recently, and now I get it.
Oh, okay. Wasn't he in
it?
The Kissing Booth? Was that him?
Yeah, he was in, and now he's in a bunch of these movies.
Yeah,
he's in a bunch of movies. But are you attracted to him?
Not too much. Yeah, I like. Yeah, unless he has a bunch of chest hair.
Yeah.
Once he turns 60, I will.
Oh, okay.
Like 50-year-old Jacob Elordi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's
and we'll up? Be like 80 because I think we're much older than him.
Totally.
But he does it for me lately.
Yeah.
He was in Euphoria. I don't watch Euphoria.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Okay, wait.
We should talk about The Grinch.
Yeah, wait. Real quickly, though. I do have some more thoughts about Santa Claus. No, the last thing I just want to say is in one of those interviews, two more things about Tim Allen. Okay, one of the interviews I saw, they were asking him and the daughter what their favorite Christmas song is.
Mm-hmm.
And the daughter said, "Do They Know It's Christmas" by Band-Aid, which I thought, like, that is such a weird answer, isn't it?
Yeah.
That for a young teen gal.
Yeah.
Is that what the youths, Gen Z, or
are
they listening to that?
That's weird.
Anyway, I thought that was strange. And then Tim Allen said his greatest Christmas song is Little Drummer Boy. Bum, 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 bum. I couldn't believe
that.
Yeah. Could not believe it. Finally, the last thing I want to say about Tim Allen is that he keeps teasing a home improvement reboot, where it's centered around the boys are grown up or something. Mm-hmm.
You heard what happened with the oldest.
Okay. Yeah. That's my point.
Talk about it.
Okay. So the kids have been in some trouble. The boys have been in some trouble. I believe the oldest was just recently arrested.
Zachary
and I meant
Ty
to look
Ryan.
It up before we started, but he was just, it was something bad. Look it up.
Yeah.
And then Jonathan Taylor Thomas, we've been looking for that man. He's been in hiding like the fucking Grinch up in the mountaintop for the past 10 years. So no clue where the fuck he is.
Yeah.
And then the youngest, I think, had some trouble too. So I just think, like, what are we teasing at this point?
Yeah.
Unless it's starring Al.
Yeah.
I'm not interested.
Like, house arrest improvement. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're all in rehab
they
or something.
They all have the ankle monitor on.
Yeah. I think you're like the oldest son. I think, he got into some like domestic stuff. And I think something came out where he was like trying to reach out to Tim Allen. And I'm like, guys, your TV dad is not responsible for you at this point. Right. You know?
We need to just spin off Patricia Richardson.
Yes.
And Al.
Alone. She leaves him. Her and Heidi. Oh, yeah, go off and they're like running a lodge or something.
Oh my God.
I would watch that.
I would watch the shit out of that.
I would watch the shit out of that. Heidi's the handy woman at the B&B. And
you know what I would like it for Tim Allen is to somehow like they upload his grunts to like, I don't know, some sort of, remember those singing fish around the holidays in the 90s? Like what if they just had like a singing fish that did the, and like, so that's how he was appearing in it.
Yes. Every time someone walks through the door.
Okay. Yeah. I'm glad we got that straight.
Did I tell you I've run into Al before in Seattle? Oh, yeah. He's from there. He was wearing a plaid flannel on the ferry boat. Uh-huh. And I was like, that is so on brand.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would watch a spinoff with him too, but even the neighbor, of course, we love Wilson. The neighbor has passed.
Oh, so yeah.
I don't know. I just think like, you know what, Tim? You need to cool it up. As much as we would love a home improvement reboot, and we've probably been on this microphone in the past saying, give it to us. Mm-hmm. Now I'm rethinking it after Santa Claus's season two.
Yeah, and all the sons are out of the industry, so you can't, you know.
Let's not force it. Yeah. Unless they want to recast the sons as us. Then
as us. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
You play JTT, and totally I'll be the oldest boy. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Pixie cut. Yeah. That'd be so awesome.
Okay. All right. Tell me your thoughts about The Grinch.
Oh, yeah. So I just have a couple factoids to talk about.
A couple? I see a full page of notes.
Jenna. Yeah. I have two full pages. The second page, we'll get to it. So I found, I didn't know this, that Jim found solace chain smoking through one of those long cigarette holders, you know,
like
Our Lady Eve, so that his yak hair wouldn't ignite. Because he had the yak hair all over his body and it's highly flammable. And he would have to listen to the Bee Gees to calm himself down. I didn't know that in our past 5 years of talking about this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bee Gees. You know, I just did, this sounds like a brag, but I did the Sherry Shepherd show and I wore this sweater.
I love Sherry Shepherd.
I do too. I wore this sweater that was like Grinch inspired and it was like a mole hair, but it was like that same kind of Grinchy fur. Mm-hmm. And my parents met me in New York and the whole time my mom was like, Dan, I can't sit by you. That Grinch hair is just getting all up in my allergies. And so she had to like keep moving away from me and she made a big stink out of every time. She's like, Dan, I can't be near that thing.
Dan.
Mom, it's my sweater.
She hosted that. I was on a trivia game show called The Best Damn Trivia Show Ever with all these Jeopardy
people. My mother,
people.
Sherry.
Oh, no, Sherry. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and me and Linda. And Sherry was the host, and she's so funny. She is just,
I love her.
I love seeing those clips of you.
I didn't get to tell. We didn't get to talk about this on the show because they had run out of time, and so the segment was shortened. But when I was in college, I wrote her a fan letter.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Fan email. And she replied to me. I said, like, I'm going to write a sitcom for us. And like, this was when I was in college. I found on her personal website her email address and she wrote me back.
That's awesome.
And so I got to tell her that backstage, but we were going to try to talk about it on the show, but we never got to it. But yeah, she's always been so nice.
And cool.
Yeah,
total
and she
pro.
Was, like,
she's
super
awesome.
Sweet and like very nice to my parents, which was great.
Awesome. Yeah, anyway. You should totally do something with her. You should totally
write her. I mean, back in college, I was writing a sitcom.
Yeah.
Because she was on a show called Less Than Perfect.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was so funny. Okay, Grinch facts.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so this also, I think we talked about Ron Howard. I did not know this, that he,
director of the live action Grinch.
Yes. And his previous, the last project he did before directing this was Apollo 13, Dan.
Yeah.
So one night or morning, he arrived on set at 3:30 a.m. because to get Grinched up because Jim was complaining so much. So he was like, I'm going to just go see what this fucker's complaining about. And so he wanted to understand the emotions Jim was feeling and Jim appreciated the sentiment. And I was like,
so Ron got in full hair and makeup.
He got in full hair and makeup.
As the Grinch.
Yeah.
To direct the Grinch.
Yes, to direct the Grinch, just so he could understand how Jim was feeling. But I also, because we know Jim has struggled with addiction. He's been very open about his addiction struggles.
Wait, did he really? Is he really?
Yeah. Which I don't know what his vice was.
Okay.
And this is what I wanted to ask you, because a major cause that led to his struggles during the making of The Grinch came from his addiction. And he admitted this in an interview on the Graham Norton show. He said that this led to his priorities getting mixed up and that little else mattered outside of his next batch. And I was like, batch of meth, batch of coke. Like,
what was his addiction?
And also, like, was he high this whole time?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Okay, I don't know. We don't do extensive we're not journalists.
Yeah, we're not journalists. Yeah. And I'm not a journalist.
We present information that we find on the internet and then totally. You guys piece through it as you will.
And I respect an addiction journey sure. and like whatever it was going on.
But we don't know exactly what it is.
I don't
is.
Know what it was.
You know, I kind of vaguely have this weird thing creeping in my head where I might be mixing him up with Will Smith, but I remember hearing an interview where one of them was talking about like being addicted to like number one movies and like doing big movies. So I wonder, maybe I don't want to speak for him because maybe he is addicted to something else.
Yeah.
But I feel like I vaguely remember him saying like, I'm addicted to the success. And so it was like hard for, maybe this was Will Smith to like accept a failed movie.
That sounds like a Will Smith quote for sure.
Both of them probably though.
Have that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The Will and Jada stuff has to end. I just, in general,
I'm
like,
so
it's
over
too
it.
Much. It's
they
too
have
much.
To stop asking them. But I don't think no one's asking them. They're offering this. I think they're calling People Magazine and being like, hey, so guess what? This, you know, I'm like,
it's
stop taking their calls.
Yeah.
Don't open any
emails. And with
emails.
The books and everything, like, I don't know. I want everyone to tell their stories, but it's like, at a certain point, we need to just cut off their stories.
Yeah, because there's a different, like, a difference between, like, adding
put
stuff
the
to
away.
The discourse that's going to help and benefit those who listen and just airing dirty laundry. And
it feels,
just kind of gross.
That's what I think feels gross to me is, like, it feels like dirty laundry.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't
yeah.
feel like a respectful, even, I don't
being
know.
Relatable.
Neither one of them feel respectful to me.
Yeah.
It feels like you're just shouting.
Disrespectful.
Things that you're supposed to keep private.
Totally. Yeah.
Like there's certain things I talk about a lot of stuff on the podcast or my books or whatever, but like there are certain lines you don't cross with people.
100%. Yeah. Anyway. I'm just uninterested also in that.
What I am interested in though is like an oral history on Jim Carrey's The Grinch, like that movie.
Yes!
Like that's what I am. If there's a journalist out there or someone who book writer or something, like give us that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good book.
Cause we've talked about Kazuhiro Tsuji, the makeup artist,
who
had already done Men in Black and Benjamin Button. And so he's the one who checked himself into therapy because Jim made it so hard to work with him.
We got that in the last year's Grinch episode.
Yeah. And then he had to do the CIA torture training. But I was like also thinking, like at what point, because that's, I was looking up stuff also about Dr. Seuss's widow. Have we really gone in? I looked up some information about her because
I love that you
he always in. Refused to sell the rights, the film rights for his books. And so, of course, he dies and immediately she's like, all right, Hollywood, let's
Hollywood
fucking now that he's dead, you know,
so that's how the movies finally started getting
exactly because he passed away. And so the decision went to his widow, Audrey. And so she put a lot of thought into what needed to happen if producers want to make a movie. And so she was only willing to auction off the rights to it if she got like a portion of the box office, half of the merchandising. So I love that she literally waited till
money.
He died and she was like, I'm going to capitalize.
Yeah.
But that it had to have someone like a Robin Williams.
Would you, just because we're talking about this, let's say you're the wife of a Dr. Seuss-esque figure, would you, and the deceased husband is like, no, I don't want any stuff made. I'm happy with, this is how I wanted the work represented.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want any movies made based on this book or property or whatever. And then you're in the widow's shoes. Would you sell or would you not?
I wouldn't.
Okay.
I don't think I would, but unless I had to financially, if I was like, okay, is it this or groceries? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, then I would.
Right.
But
yeah, I kind of
would you?
I don't know. I don't know. I think the thing that I would struggle with most is like the idea of if you don't, then the property could just sort of die.
Totally.
Right.
Yes,
like, and then it's like that cool character story or whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's kept how they wanted it, but also then it kind of dies off. Whereas if they keep going, maybe it lives forever.
Mm-hmm.
I remember hearing this thing about IP and specifically if it's like 20 years or something, then if the IP lasts 20 years, and I could be getting this a little off, but if it's like lasts 20 years, then it'll be around forever. Meaning like if they keep doing sequels or reboots within a 20-year period, that pretty much means the character is going to be indelible into pop culture forever.
Mm-hmm.
So something like Spider-Man is just going to be around forever. Like that's just a character people can fight it, or Batman, or some of these characters. It's like they're going to always be times where it's rebooted or reimagined or something. And I think that with the Grinch, it's like that's a character that's never going to die.
Yeah.
Some of his other characters, I don't know, could be kind of dicey, even though they've been around forever. Like
the Lorax?
Lorax, I guess it'll sort of be around. Do kids still? I think it'll. Or the Cat
in the
Hat.
The movie.
Like, these are ones that are like kind of on the fence a little bit. But Grinch will outlive us all. right? Mm-hmm, absolutely. People will be shopping at Hobby Lobby.
Mm-hmm. and the original cartoon is years. So good. Yeah, I think that's the thing. It's so sweet. The music's sweet. You can turn it on when you're decorating the tree. You know.
We do have to just leave people with a worry note, a disclaimer,
yeah.
Because I am seeing a lot online. People are falling for the Facebook hoax of Grinch 2 with Jim Carrey. There's like this movie poster that goes around every single year. It goes around, And it's happening now with Christmas with the Cranks 2, which is not a real thing.
It's a hoax.
It's a hoax, and the Grinch 2 is a hoax because people send it to me on social media every day, and like. Yeah. I'm like, you guys, this is a hoax. It's not real. But it's like a poster of like the Grinch hand and says like Grinch 2 with Jim Carrey coming. And Jim just recently did an interview where he had to debunk it again. And it's like so frustrating that he every year has got to come out and debunk it. But it goes around. It goes viral. The same thing has now happening with Christmas with the Cranks 2, which it's like, that's wild to think they're just going to do a big budget Christmas with the Cranks 2, which I would be in line for. Don't get me wrong.
Me too.
But the Grinch 2 is the one that's going around. So I just want people to know that going forward. Do not send it to me because it's a hoax.
It's not real.
Until we get confirmation from a studio or Jim Carrey himself posts it, not interested. It's been happening with Sister Act 3 too. There's like, Whoopi has said she's doing Sister Act 3, but then there's this poster that goes around that says like Bette Midler. And even I think someone famous posted the poster and Whoopi had to come out and be like, I'll let you know.
I'll let you know when I get to set.
We do not have Bette Midler signed on and this is a fake fan-made poster. Mm-hmm. But now AI, everything.
And Photoshop.
Photoshop.
Yeah.
So Jenna, let's take our break here. That's a good time. Oh, yeah. So while everyone, we're going to take our little commercial break. We're going to come back and do not fall for any Grinch hoaxes.
Or any hoaxes at all.
Yeah. And we'll be right back. This special segment is presented by Nordstrom and Acast Creative. I love Nordstrom and I've been thinking a lot about the Grinch in our lives, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about the Grinch and we love the Grinch. We've done 100 episodes on the Grinch because we love it so much. Mm-hmm. But Jenna, is there a Grinch in your life? Specifically, I'm thinking like, is there someone who maybe doesn't follow the theme at a party for the holiday season or gives the worst gifts? Like, who is that in your life?
Yeah, bless her heart. My mom still thinks I have collections that I had when I was a child.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I was really into turtles for a little bit.
So, you're always getting
penguins,
turtle merch.
And so, I'm getting like penguin stuff as a grown up now, which is, it's less, I guess, less grinchy, more unevolved.
Sure. And one of the hard things with people, loved ones, is when you're a kid and you say you like something. Even if you've said a million times, I no longer like that. That always happens with food. Matt and I talk about it. He one time liked red velvet and said to somebody and my parents and his mom, he said something like, I like red velvet. And so for every birthday, they will send red velvet stuff and he doesn't like red velvet anymore. And he'll keep saying, I've even heard him tell my parents or his mom, he'll say like, I don't like red velvet anymore. And he'll try to say it nice, but it's like, it keeps happening. And it's just, that's somebody gets that in their brain.
And it's stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's yours?
Yeah. I'd say this is terrible, but my grandfather is not, when he was with us, was not the greatest gift giver. And I always remember in my, for one of my birthdays, he would always give like the craziest cards and he gave me a Twilight card once and I was like, why did he? But he would not good at giving gifts and also not very festive. So my grandmother was so festive and like sang in the choir and always had so many holiday decorations and stuff. And my grandpa just like wasn't into any of that. So it was like even getting him to wear like a seasonal tie or something was impossible. But he never had to give the gift. So it was always his wife who was doing the gift buying. So he never had to worry about that. But that's maybe why he never gave great gifts. But I don't know. I always think it's like, go somewhere where you can get lots of gifts. Like when I'm shopping, I like to be in store. Online is great too, but I like to be in store. And specifically at Nordstrom, I think it's great because you can look around and they have something for everybody.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're gifts that you might not have thought about before you got into the store.
Mm-hmm.
Or I love candles. We've talked about that before. And so sometimes I need to be at the store so I could smell the candle.
Mm-hmm.
And know what the scent is I'm going to give myself or to somebody else. But whether it be clothes or slippers or pajamas or anything, even sunglasses, I was getting a new pair of sunglasses for my brother for the holidays at Nordstrom. And I needed to see what they'd look like in person because sunglasses online or in a picture, sometimes it's hard to see how big they are. So in person, I got to pick him out some Ray-Bans that I know is just going to love, but they have everything at the store. So I think it's really important to be able to shop and look around. And
Even like toiletry stuff, toiletry cases, ties. That's something I always love getting. my dad are the men in my life. I love getting ties, and they have so many there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of toiletries, I also think like skincare products, like they have all sorts of beauty and grooming and jewelry, toys, games, stocking stuffers. They have so much there, but a lot of those beauty products, I think it's great when you can give like one of those seasonal sets and give someone the lotion and the soap
face cream
and the scrub and everything that's peppermint or pumpkin. And they have so many different options for that stuff. And I think fragrances is great.
That's where I get mine.
It's great to give gifts a fragrance too, because sometimes that's something we might not want to always treat ourselves with, but I love getting a fragrance.
Yeah. And anything in that home spa umbrella, you know, like treating yourself is always a great gift.
Is always a good thing. If you do have Grinches in your life who aren't getting you the gifts that you want, head on over to Nordstrom and get some stuff, because Nordstrom, Jenna, one of my favorite places, truly. I love that. I love Nordstrom.
The cafe.
I'm like obsessed. And I've said this before on my show, but I'm obsessed with this Caesar salad with blackened chicken, chopped. Make sure you get the blackened chicken. It's so good at Nordstrom Cafe. Like obsessed with a side of French fries. To me, it's the ideal meal. Anyway, Nordstrom is the ultimate holiday destination this season, with everything you need for everyone on your list, from stocking stuffers to the best gifts for everyone you love, even the Grinches. Nordstrom services make the holiday season easy, special, and fun, so their customers can give their best to those they love. They have great customer service at Nordstrom.
They do.
The best. Yeah. Check out more at Nordstrom in stores or online at Nordstrom.com today. Thank you for listening to this special segment brought to you in partnership with Nordstrom and Acast Creative. And we're back. Jenna, you have more Grinchy facts.
I do. Okay, this is part of my rage. This is why I came over here all Grinched out. They used 152,000 pounds of marble crushed up to be the snow. So that's more than 75 tons of marble.
What?
Yeah.
So in place of snow, because they couldn't use real snow.
Yeah. They thought like cotton balls or whatever would look fake. And I'm like, marble? Imagine what you could build with so much more. I feel like that's just a massive waste of resources. Yeah. And that kind of pissed me off.
You know how at Universal Studios here, they turn it into Whoville for the holidays? Well, I think they stopped that a couple years ago, but I had gone on the Universal tour. Like they take you on the tram or whatever. And it was so sad because you could see where the old Who houses and sets that they had at Universal Studios, they were just in like the back. And so when you go on that tram ride or whatever, you can see, or at least the time I did it, you could see like, it was so sad because it was like the sets, but now they're not popular anymore. And so
dilapidated.
Like the saddest thing. It felt like you entered this like old world or something. Like abandoned amusement park or
ghost
something.
Town Whoville. Yeah.
But all that marble is just still now being wasted over there.
Yeah. I don't know. That was just a weird, like, okay, guys.
Also, we're in Whoville and like they're wearing these like fake noses and everything. Like, you should have just used cotton balls.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
Although I say that now, and I'm finding that all these movies look so cheap now. And so maybe they all need marble.
You're right.
A lot of these movies look so fucking cheap now.
Yes. Yeah. That's the thing. It's in the foam, or just like they lay down just white cotton sheets.
Flat and cheap, or bad CGI. I mean, I was just watching something. The old CGI looks so much better than the new CGI. I'm like, what year are we in?
Yeah.
And it's because they're not paying the artists enough, and they're giving them like 2 days to do a whole Marvel movie.
Exactly.
Give them time. Okay, next fact.
I looked up to that. So we know this about Jim. I know.
Next.
I got one more fact.
I feel like on that MTV
One more
bus,
on page one.
Like, next.
Yeah, next. So Jim spent 92 days wearing the Grinch costume. So I wanted to compare
doing a part two.
Never.
Why would he want to do that?
Yeah, no, ever. So I wanted to look up what that is comparable to. So him spending 92 days in the Grinch costume is basically filming four seasons of Naked and Afraid in a row. Because those are 21 days long.
So it's like watching that.
Or two complete seasons of Survivor, which is a lot.
Yeah.
So those are about 39 days. Four seasons of Bachelor in Paradise in a row.
Oh, wow.
One season of The Real World, which is about 70 days. And then 11 voyages on Ocean Gate.
Oh, so he could have gone on 11. Wow.
Which is 8 days they were down there.
Wait, this might sound stupid. They found the Ocean Gate people, right? I forget.
They did. They found a bunch of remains and, the bloat up. Yeah. It imploded. Oh, yeah, so I think they did find stuff, which that was the only time I've really been like gripped with the news.
Right.
In recent memory. I loved Ocean Gate.
I was riveted by it, but also I realizing just now, like I've forgotten all of it.
Totally.
It like, flew in my head and flew out.
It was my whole personality for that entire time. I was like, guys, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
Cause there was so much weird stuff surrounding that. So that's
sort of like, remember Balloon Boy?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Not exactly. The
gripped
same.
The nation.
Sure.
Or Elian Gonzalez. But I think thinking about that, like 92 days doing anything is a long time. And that actually kind of made me sympathize with Jim. Cause sure. I was like, oh, if I had to film Bachelor in Paradise 4 times in a row, I would go crazy.
Right. Right. I mean, you know? I'm sure he was nuts. And I, of course we know we've talked about all the reports on the set of him being a terror to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yes.
But there is some level of like, you're like, I kind of understand, but I also think they push people like, I don't think that's normal. I forget what the hours is. You probably just told me how many hours you sit in hair and makeup for something like that.
Yeah. His was like 9 hours.
It's like, that's not a normal thing to do. Mm-hmm. Like that's not, nobody should be doing that.
I agree.
It is torture. Mm-hmm. And you, if you obviously had to bring in someone from the government to help you understand torture,
yeah.
It's like, that's not a human behavior that people should be doing. So it is true. Like they should have CGI'd him or something.
Yes. At what point? And even the thing with that too, and Ron Howard having to, I don't think if the director shouldn't I have to Ron go Howard. Get, oh, I know, get in the makeup to sympathize. I'm like, guys, there needs to be a checkpoint.
Would you have sex with Ron Howard?
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. Me too.
Probably. Yeah. You think? Yeah. Because I think
just
like Jim Carrey.
That little detour like on if this that was episode yeah. of the Grinch.
Oh, we have to. Yeah. Exactly. A little detour. Because like also, but imagine if that was a woman. If that was Reese Witherspoon or Katherine Heigl, she'd be canceled. Like if any woman acted.
Oh yeah.
Like a fraction of what Jim was doing on set. I think that's what was pissing me off. 5 years into this, as we research, I'm like, you know what? If that was a woman, like Naomi Judd, canceled.
I love that you think Naomi Judd would get cast in a big budget Grinch film.
Yeah. Reese Witherspoon or, you know what, Cameron Diaz Naomi is probably Judd the only one. Or, it would be Cameron Diaz. Yeah,
Naomi yeah. Judd or Cameron Diaz. Yeah. One of the two of them.
Which she was also Black Friday shopping in Santa Barbara.
Naomi Judd or Cameron Diaz?
Cameron Diaz. Yeah, oh, I didn't run into her.
I feel bad for Cameron Diaz. Just let me get this off my chest because she did this, she came out of retirement to do this movie with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
And of course, Jamie had these health issues, which we sympathize and hope for the best. But it's like she didn't even want to do any movies. And then she decided to do this. Then the production got stopped halfway. And so now this movie that she's doing dragged out 100 years. And then didn't he? I think he was in the news, which we don't have to get into this. But I think then Jamie Foxx was in the news for some sort of other issues. And so, yeah, just as for Cameron Diaz, she's probably thinking, why the fuck did I come out of retirement?
Yeah.
She ain't going to do Charlie's Angels 3 anymore because now this was the hell.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. Anyway,
she deserves a Christmas movie.
She did The Holiday.
Holiday. Yeah.
Okay, wait, Jenna, any other Grinch thoughts or Grinch notes or Grinch facts?
I accidentally went on a deep dive about our narrator, Sir Anthony Hopkins. We haven't really talked about him in our past Grinch recaps, and I kind of went for it.
Okay, tell
so,
me.
So this is the final page of just Anthony Hopkins. So this is the, you know, antithesis of Jim. He did all of his narration in one day.
Okay.
Which isn't surprising because, you know, you've done your audiobook recording. You can just get in the booth and do it.
Knock it out. Yeah.
So he was knighted in 1993 by Queen Elizabeth for his service to the arts. He wanted to be a concert pianist, but when he was 15, he met Richard Burton, aka Liz Taylor's ex, who encouraged him to study acting.
Is he still with us?
He's still alive. Yeah. Okay, he's like 94 and is active on Instagram.
Okay.
He does like, I think, cooking tutorials.
Going to follow him now?
Have you seen Silence of the Lambs?
Yes.
Yeah. So he, I guess, studied tapes of Charles Manson and he would never blink. But I also found this article that was like all about Anthony Hopkins. And it was like, he's an improviser. And I was like, oh, okay. Cause Danny and I, of course, met doing improv at the Groundlings. And so he likes to do improv. And so he was doing some of his improv in his first scene with Jodie Foster on set of Silence of the Lambs. Like, could you imagine being Jodie Foster, a pro? Like she already has Academy Awards from like Taxi Driver when she was 13. And here she is meeting Anthony Hopkins on set, and he's going to do some improv for their first
as
scene.
As Hannibal Lecter. Yeah. Like, I can't even imagine.
Totally. So this is what happened. So it said, during his first scene with Jodie Foster, playing Carice, he makes fun of her Southern accent. And I remember that scene. And so this improvisation caught Jodie Foster off guard, and she was mortified. She thought he was personally attacking her. But so, and like, I guess she like reacts to it, you know, in real time. She thanks him later for dishing up that, you know, moment of yes anding. But I was like, could you, I'd be so pissed. I'd be like, could you stop improvising?
Let's just stick to the script.
Yeah, sir. Let's just stick to the script.
Sir Anthony.
Yeah.
Wait, I looked him up. He is 85.
85. I'm like, he's 94.
And I just have to tell you, Jenna, because I first pulled up his Instagram account. He's doing this Thanksgiving dance. This looks like it was Thanksgiving Day. He's dancing.
He's cute.
He seems really lively and sprightly. And you told me he's 94, and I was like, no way. No, he's not that 85 is super youthful, but like.
But I was quick to say
94. He's dancing.
He's dancing. He's dancing.
Yeah. He's cute.
He's so cute.
And did you know in the new Grinch, like the animated one, was it like, who was the narrator? There was someone else narrating it.
Oh.
They always got to have a narrator.
Yeah. Would you ever, I think you would be a great narrator.
Oh, I would love to narrate.
You should.
That. I'm ready.
We should talk to the Santa Claus people and be like, we're taking back the night.
Right.
Like, we're going to write it. Danny's narrating it.
It's called We're Taking Back the Night.
Taking back the
night. Wait, Jenna, speaking of other careers, so like this actually leads us into what I want to talk about on this Grinch episode as well, is your new movie, A Christmas, Perfect Christmas Pairing.
Yes.
Which I watched on Peacock. It's so easy to watch, but I think it's available on like multiple on-demand platforms.
Amazon Prime, Freeve, like Zubi, Fubo. Freebie? Yeah, a bunch of those like VOD platforms.
Some of these names, you just said Fubo. And Fubo like, what is are these Tubi. Names? I watched it on Peacock. It was so easy to pull up. A Perfect Christmas Pairing. It was so cute. It's very like in the vein of like the Hallmark Lifetime holiday movies where you just let the coziness sweep all over your brain and just turn your brain off and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And also one of the male leads is cute.
Chris Connell.
But also there was a time where his blouse was open.
Yes. And I wrote that in.
Okay, wait. Yeah. Okay, so this is actually one of the questions I wanted to get into. Okay. So yeah, there's a scene where the guy's blouse is open. And all of these movies are evolving quicker. We've been saying for years on this podcast, like they need to evolve and have more diversity in characters and get out of the tropes a little bit. And now they are. But anyway, this one had him just in a scene where he's wearing a button down, but his shirt is opened. And I don't know why, it just struck me as I was like, oh, I wonder if that was written in or if Jenna, if they told her to, if it was originally completely the shirt off or if they told her to put it on, like what were the logistics of that? Was there any of that?
Yeah, there was, it was written into the script that he would be, you know, coming, I think it was maybe out of the shower. out of the shower, guys. but that was, something that you're right, depending on who is going to ultimately shoot it, they can pare back on some of that. But I'm glad to see that the director left that in, what gave him a chance to show off some chest.
A little chest hair.
Yeah. The director is Dave Thomas, no relation. Amazing guy. He was so good. I thought it was beautifully directed.
And it was, it was cute. And I know when you guys filmed it, it was during the summertime or
something. Yeah, it was like September in Georgia, which was hot. And so I was on set visiting. I'm in shorts and a tank top. Everyone's in like pleather pants and sweaters. So that was a joke too, that they'd just be sweating. We called it Christmas in September.
Oh my. And in Georgia's hot.
Yeah. And you notice too, that a lot of the decorations were up. So in town, she's like in town in LaGrange, they actually, the owners of the winery where it was shot were friends with the mayor of, and so he was so excited that there was going to be a movie. They put an ad in the local paper for extras. Oh. So all the extras you see in like the big final scene and then in the coffee shop that I'm in, it's all people added a paper, a newspaper ad for like a big Hollywood production. And then he brought out the town decorations 3 months early. Isn't that nice?
I love that. It was like, cute decorations and even it was like sunny, but like still felt warm and cozy because it wasn't a snowy time. It wasn't snowy film, but it was still very cozy, which I thought was important.
Yeah.
But everyone was great. Anything else about like the making of that you want to share or anything or maybe something for people to look out for?
Oh yeah.
As they're watching.
That's a great question. The origin of it, was kind of based on my own family. You know, I imagine my own aunt and uncle were the aunt and uncle of hers, like my aunt Barb and Uncle Charlie.
So tell people the plot of it.
Oh, yeah. So the plot is like lights up a chef in a city, you know, in this case, it's Atlanta. Yeah. Originally it was written for Seattle. And she wants a Michelin star. And oh, no, did I activate that somehow? She wants a Michelin star. And
the robots you're talking about.
She's cooking, you know, and like, do you watch Chef's Table?
Yes.
I'm upset. I love Chef's Table.
So good. Addicted.
I binged them all through COVID. And so that's when I wrote this. And so she's kind of like that, like over science-y, over complicated methods. And there's a critic that comes in to Delaney Fox. And so she does her thing and then wakes up the next morning and it's a total hit piece. And so she goes back and she tells her boss, you know, or the owner, like this guy, which he was one of my favorites. The guy.
He was cute too.
Yeah, Silas, right? Yeah, Silas.
Is that his character name or his real life name?
That's his character name. Because it used to be Siren, based off my grandma's maiden name. But we got the location for free if I changed all the names to their family.
Oh my God.
So I did.
Wait, so I was going to ask you if Silas was, how do I put this on the podcast, was named after the guy, the hot guy.
The hot guy that, oh my gosh.
That you had sex with that night.
Actually, yes. Yeah. That guy was so hot.
I know. For listeners, Jenna, don't tell people that. Maybe he was. Maybe he wasn't.
Maybe he wasn't.
But we met him at a holiday party one time.
After your Groundling show.
Yeah. No, it was. Yeah. Yeah. It was a CrossFit.
Oh my God.
Holiday party. I think it was.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyways, yeah. So yeah,
I was like, wait, is that Silas? Is that how his name was based? I wanted to ask.
A shout
you
out. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But it was actually the family's son.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So named after him. But so he's like, you know what, take some time off. Go see your family. She's like, I have family out in wine country. Their aunt and uncle run a winery. Her parents are dead. We find out later. They lived on a boat. So it's kind of based on my own family who are really big into like making gingerbread houses, games. They play Santa Bingo. Mm-hmm. They do a cork toss. Like the Brister fam.
I thought the Santa Bingo was a cute touch because there's always like those fun game scenes, but it felt like a unique game.
Yeah. I wanted to be something, you know, because also IP. I couldn't use any real games. So I was like, okay, Santa Bingo. So she gets a negative review, goes back kind of to like liquor wounds at the family winery, but they have a defunct tasting room, B&B. And so the story, then she meets, they have like a jack of all trades, girl who lives there, and she's great. Meg Biddlesmith. She's so funny. Her brother is a travel writer in town. And so he wants to put down roots
on his book tour.
Yeah. He's about to take off for the wonders of the world. And so my favorite part about writing his character, and he's wonderful.
He's
and like,
the one with the top open.
Yeah. With the top open. He's just so good. But that I just always had him referencing the wonders of the world. He's like, well, this time tomorrow I'll be on the pyramids. Like it's so fun because it's so dumb. You know what I mean? I was like, this is so stupid. But I feel like there's things I want to tell you about the making of it. Yeah, so it was kind of based on my own fame.
So it's a love story. Got your cozy holiday feels to it.
Yeah, and she finds her mom's cookbook. Her mom's passed away at this point. And so she finds the cookbook, and it has all these notes in the margins. And so her journey is getting back to those, like, down-home recipes from back home, cooking those, like, classics. Because that's something you go home and, like, I love my Aunt Barb's quiche or, like, the pecan pie. Those specifics. And so then throughout the course of, you know, she starts making the recipes for the tasting room. And so that's the perfect Christmas pairing, is that they're pairing these family recipes with the wines from their vineyard. And then they're going to end up opening the tasting room. But the critic comes back right after Christmas. She goes back in. Yeah. And she ends up cooking the recipes for her, the pecan tart, which
we
is
don't
very
give it all away.
I won't spoil it. Yeah. But so it was like her finding, her passion about what she really likes to do. And yeah.
Well, we need everyone to watch the movie, Perfect Christmas Pairing.
It's so
Think about
fun.
All the things you just said. You said, we got the cozy Christmas. We got wineries.
Big wine villain. How funny was Rita Burr?
So good. She's so funny. We got that going. Mm-hmm. We have a family Christmas recipes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really sweet and lovely and wonderful. And yeah, when you're decorating the tree, put on a Perfect Christmas Pairing. Yeah. Watch it on the cock.
Yes. Yeah. And they just actually are going to feature it. My friend Annabella works up here. She's like, oh, we're going to highlight it in like their big blast.
Oh,
yeah. So thanks, Annabella. I love you.
Yes, we love the cock.
Yeah. But there was, there were a few moments because there was like a dirtier script that didn't have dirty stuff, but you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to leave a few jokes in for the censors, but they of course got taken out, but the lead actors got access to that through for auditions. And so when I got to set, they were like, oh my gosh, this joke, like we liked this one.
Oh,
like, can I tell you one of them?
Yeah.
Cause you've seen it. Okay. So, you know, Rita Bird, like the rep from Big Wine.
Yes.
She shows up and Gowrie Hayden. Oh, shout out to her. She's so funny. I got to be close with her on set and she's just like a blast. one of them was when she shows up at the B&B and she of course wants to like bulldoze it and like pump in money to it or whatever. And our lead girl, Grace, is like, oh, do you grow wine also? And she goes, oh no, I'm a shower, not a grower. I like to show people what's possible. Oh, and so God. She was like, I wanted to say that line so bad. So in the movie, it's, oh no, I just like to show people what's possible. But there was a better setup for that. It got to the very end. And then of course our sweet producer was like, we got to take that out. I was like, oh, I know. Yeah. Oh, I'll strike it. No problem.
But
I'm so proud of it. And thank you for watching it. And anyone who's watched it, thank you so much.
You did like a little premiere thing and I wanted to come, but I was traveling.
It was cute and sweet, and I'm so proud of it.
I love those movies. And what's so fascinating to me is I wanted to discuss this briefly with you before we let everyone go, but it seems like even within the world of Hallmark, they're really doing such different stuff now. Yeah. Like this is the first season I really noticed, and I took notes on some Hallmark movies that I had seen over the holiday weekend, over the Thanksgiving weekend. And I was so fascinated because we had something called Catch Me If You Claws, which was sort of like a action-y Christmas movie. So it was Luke McFarlane and they were, it felt like the movie Catch Me If You Can, one of my favorite actually Christmas movies of all time or all any movie. But it was, I think, a play on that title and they're doing that a lot more, like where they're kind of doing not spoofs, but sort of taking a concept like that, which is so frustrating because you and I like pitched to one of these, a 13 going on 30 type Christmas movie. And they were like, oh, we don't, it's too close to those movies. And now they're doing all these kinds of,
we should repitch it.
I know we should. Anyway. So that was Catch Me If You Claws, which I didn't think was a great movie, but it was interesting in what they were doing.
Yeah.
There was also a movie called Holiday Road, which is, I think, one of their best ones. And it was like a huge sprawling cast. It felt almost a little bit like Lost-esque, where it was like these group of people were stranded at an airport, decided to get in a Sprinter van all together and travel.
Okay.
And each of them have like kind of their own storylines, which was fascinating because it wasn't just like the romance. I liked it a lot.
That's cool. That's cool because they don't do a lot of on the road Christmas.
It was
that's
so
cool.
Different than anything I'd seen.
Oh, I need to watch that. Okay.
Then we had Christmas in Notting Hill, which is my friend Sarah Ramos was one of the, was the lead woman in it. And the guy, the cute boy from he was in the Chronicles of Narnia movies, like the oldest one, who I had a big crush on when I was a kid, and he's in it and he still looks good. He plays like a soccer player, but it's Christmas in Notting Hill, which is again a kind of a take on Notting Hill, Julie Roberts and Hugh Grant, but it was it felt like it was shot beautifully. It just looked different. And so a lot of these movies, if you notice on the Hallmark Channel specifically, feels just like they're taking big swings, which I like.
Yeah, I think that there's new creatives in HQ from what I've heard. Like people who are down to do more like broader stuff. Yeah,
they're the ones who are going to take on Christmas with the Cranks Part 2 probably because they're there's also something a Joy Noel. I don't know if I'm saying that properly, but it's with Brant Doherty, who I believe is like the hottest male lead on Hallmark Channel. And it had a lot of gnome stuff in it, which I didn't love. But it just feels like they're doing different kinds of stuff. So I wanted to shout that out because I thought it was interesting. If you tune on to Hallmark Channel or whenever we talk about those movies, people say, why do you keep watching them? Because they're all the same. And I just would point like now they are like becoming different.
Totally.
Not they usually still have the romance and stuff, but it's not like exact. And I still like the ones that are exact. Like I still like those. I still want the ones that it's like every little trope we've come to know and love.
Yeah.
But it's fun that they're doing some different things.
And, we've talked about like red, white, and royal blue.
Yeah.
It was like fun doing like a royals world, you know?
Right.
I love it. I want more of that and less Superman or not Superman, Spider-Man, all those weird Fast and the Furious.
Well, a lot of the superhero movies aren't doing well anymore. Like the Marvels was a big flop and I don't know how it was because I didn't see it, but I think the problem with the Marvel world or the superhero world, and no shade to Marvel because I like a lot of those movies, but it got to the point where I felt like I couldn't keep up because there were so many TV show ones and there was like so many movies, and then it feels like, okay, well, I missed the last three of them. And so I don't even know what's going on anymore.
Yeah.
And then there's like 10 of them on Disney Plus. And Matt watches, I think, like Loki or...
Loki.
One of those.
That's really good.
Yeah, he likes it.
Yeah.
But there's too many of them for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think they need to scale back on those.
Same.
Jenna,
what a great time.
So fun.
This is so fun. Our Grinch. Another Grinch
seasonal.
In the can.
I think this was technically our fourth Grinch episode, but it's season 5 of the podcast. So we're calling it our fifth episode.
Yeah, Grinched out. Or we're Grinched up. We're Grinched up.
Yeah. We make the rules here. So it's our fifth episode, even though it's technically our fourth.
I feel like I want to watch the OG cartoon today. I think I'm going to do that.
You should watch it. I don't know if I talked about it. Because we sort of recorded a weird schedule this year because of travel stuff we have.
For book tour.
But I don't know if I told you this on air or somewhere else, but I did watch the Grinch Halloween special on YouTube this year. Did we talk about this?
I think you talked about it, but how was it?
It's terrible.
Oh.
But I did watch it, and I do feel like I need to watch it really specifically to take notes for this podcast 1 year, because it is wild.
Yeah. I want access to whatever, like, drugs these people are who, like, greenlight this stuff,
the
right?
Morphine, the hospital morphine. They probably just write in the Grinch they wouldn't. The Cedar Sinai emergency room.
I was like, all right, I'm ready for my morphine. They're like, oh, no, you need other stuff. And I was like, no. Give it to me, please. I'm a nom. Yeah, exactly. Okay,
I'm here for a colonoscopy. Give me the morphine.
Give me the morphine, yeah. But, yeah, shout out to extended care. Yeah, and morphine.
And Jenna, it's so fun as always. Where can people find you on social media?
Oh, I'm on Instagram at jenna.brister.
And I'm at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And then follow A Very Merry Iconic Podcast on Instagram. I have a new book out called The Jolliest Bunch. It's a holiday collection of stories. Thank you for everyone who got it. Please get it now if you haven't. I love you forever. There's an audiobook as
book club.
And watch A Perfect Christmas Pairing now airing for sure on Peacock and then Amazon and all these other places.
Yeah.
But I think now on your Apple TVs, you could just, I hit the side button on the remote and say Perfect Christmas Pairing, and then it tells me where it is.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it'll tell you like what services you have and if it's included.
Yeah. Oh, that's good to know.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, everyone. Love you.
Love you all.
Bye.